We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the two verses, the 14th and 15th verses of the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Now remember that Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, who came to see him one night and wanted to know how could a man be born when he's old. And Jesus outlines the position, doctrinal position, the purpose of his coming, and so on. Now, they were familiar with what Moses did. Nicodemus knew. The people of that day, of course, knew. When they were bitten of this serpent, Moses put a brass serpent, lifted up, and anybody looked at this serpent then was not killed, but the serpent had bitten him. Now, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, must, I want you to notice that word. There never could have been a soul saved if Jesus Christ hadn't died on a cross. Jesus Christ was not a martyr. He laid his life down, took our sins in his body, and bore those sins on a cross. Now remember, God's an infinitely just God. And infinite perfection puts about God infinite impossibilities. There's some things that God cannot do. Some things are impossible with God. There's nothing that's right that's impossible, but it's impossible for God to do wrong. Now, since God is infinitely just, infinitely perfect, God cannot do wrong. Infinite perfection is not capable of doing wrong, so it's impossible for God to do wrong. Now, you just keep in that in your mind. Now, if God ever saves a sinner, he's got to find a just way to save that sinner. God can't save a man in an unjust way, in an unfair way. Some people say, isn't God merciful? Yes, he's merciful. Isn't he kind? Yes, he's kind. But he's also just. Now, all the things about God are properly related. Justice, mercy, love, compassion, everything. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was here on earth and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I gather thy children together as a chicken gathers a brood under her wings, but she would not? Well, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he gather? Because God Almighty made people with wills. Ye would not. Ye would not. Now, God Almighty made man and gave man a will. The first man God ever made was a perfect man. There wasn't anything wrong with Adam and Eve. They were perfect people. They were normal physically. They were normal mentally. Now, a man would not be a perfect man if he did not have a will. So he had to have a will to be perfect. And if he had a will, he had to have the power of choice. So Adam and Eve in the garden, surrounded with all the goodness and mercy and blessing of God, had a will. They had the power to choose right from wrong. Now, if you have no power of choice, you deserve no reward for doing right. You just had to do right, you see. But you don't have to do right unless you want to do right. You can be a sinner and go to hell if you want to go. And God won't stop you unless he can stop you in the right way. Now, Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth and took our sins and bore those sins in his body on the cross. Took our sins and bore them. The debt's been paid. The law's been satisfied. Now then, God, according to the Bible, can be just and the justifier of everybody except Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This spake he, signifying the manner of death he should die. He was not talking about his resurrection. Of course, his resurrection is included in the atonement. In other words, he died, was buried, and rose from the dead. But he was talking about being lifted up from the ground to a cross. This spake he, signifying the manner of death he should die. He wasn't going to have his throat cut. He wasn't going to be locked up and starved to death. He's going to be lifted up to a cross, see. Oh, men and women, don't forget that cross. In the cross of Christ, thy glory towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Well, he did do it. That's what he did. He went to that cross and lifted up on that cross, nails in his hands and a nail driven through his feet, and hung there in that tragic agony. So we have it here so clear, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's called the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. He was a God-man. He who knew no sin, the God-man. The only person that ever lived on earth that never sinned is Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned sometime, somewhere. Everybody in the world's done wrong sometime. But Jesus never had. And he said one time when he looked at him, he said, "Who convinces me of sin or convicts me of sin? Put your finger on something wrong with me. Just find out something." And when Pilate came out and said, "I find no fault in him," he spoke the language of the whole wide world that's fair. You cannot find any fault in him. If it's a fault to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, if it's a fault to break up a funeral and give a boy back to his mother, if it's a fault to forgive everybody when he's hanging on a cross and saying, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," if that's a fault, then he's guilty. But he's not guilty. I have a guiltless Savior who took my guilt. He who knew no sin. Now, he had no sin of his own to bear. So when he went to the cross, he bore our sins. Our sins. Now, isn't that wonderful? Sinless Son of God. He who knew no sin took upon himself our sins and bore them in his body on the cross. He died a vicarious and substitutional death. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. You might render it, if you have faith, "He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities." I never think about this if that song doesn't come back to me. "I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eye on me, and near the cross I stood." When he died there nearly 2,000 years ago, my sins were on him. All who lived before that day, the sins of those who were living then, the sins of generations who have lived and died since that time, the sins of the teeming millions yet to be born, all the sins of all the world were brought by Calvary, laid upon the life of the Son of God. Do you love Jesus Christ? Isn't it strange that men don't love him? You know, the greatest proof to me of human depravity is the fact that men do not love Jesus. Oh, they speak well of him. They say nice things about him. But they don't love Jesus. And I told you the other day, if you don't accept Jesus in the role in which he appears, you don't accept him at all. He comes as the Son of God. If you don't accept him as the Son of God, you haven't accepted him. He came by way of the body of a virgin. If you don't accept him as a virgin-born Son of God, you don't accept him. You have to accept him in the role in which he appears, or you don't accept him at all. Now, he came from heaven to earth to die on a cross. That's what he came for. Everything else is incidental to it. He kept saying, "Mine hour is not yet come," and then we stood in the shadow of the cross and said, "This is it. This is why I came." All right. Now, you have to accept him as your sin-bearer, or you don't accept him at all. You have to say, "In my hand no price I bring, simply thy cross I clean. I trust him." No, don't trust myself. I don't trust anything I've ever done. The Bible says, "A soul that sinneth, it shall die." Didn't say if you committed murder. You say, "I haven't sinned as bad as somebody else." Well, you sinned the sin that you attempted to sin. That's what the murderer did. The murderer committed the sin he is tempted to commit. The thief commits the sin he's tempted to commit. And every one of us has committed the sin each one of us was tempted to commit. You did what you were tempted to do. That's what every sinner did. And he says, "The soul that sinneth, any sin, how little it is, how insignificant it may appear, God Almighty says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now these serpents out there had bitten these people, and they were facing death. And now God said to Moses, "Put a brazen serpent up there and hold it up. If they look on that serpent, they'll be all right." And so they looked and lived. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. There is no life, eternal life, and salvation for you if you don't trust Jesus Christ. You're under the condemnation of sin. You're under the judgment of God. You're already judged. God has judged you already in the sense that he says you've sinned. And the law said if you sin, you die. So you're a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice. You don't go to hell for the sin Adam committed. You do die because of the sin you commit. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, I say I'm guilty. The serpent bit me. Oh, these serpents of sin. But what do? Well, I say, Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And I look up at him and say, I trust him. And what happens? I'm saved. I'm under his blood. I'm saved by grace through faith in the atoning blood of the Son of God. Isn't it wonderful that God found a way? Love found a way. Not only did love find a way, justice found a way. Mercy found a way. Now, God Almighty, who is infinitely merciful, is infinitely just. And God found an infinitely just plan of salvation. So he could save anybody, doesn't matter who it is, what he's done, how he's lived, if you'll trust Jesus Christ. People say, well, you think God could save so-and-so? Why, certainly. Everybody sinned against God, broke the same law everybody else broke. They sinned. They became sinners. And the soul of sin that shall die, little sin, big sin, any sin, you're dead in trespasses and sin. But there you are now. You have in your very soul and heart and mind and life the death journey. Already the death rattle may be getting into your throat. The death stare may be coming to your eyes. And a little bead of death sweat may be getting on your brow. But just take a look. There's Jesus held up for you. You are bitten by sin, but the sins of the race were laid upon him. And oh, the agony and suffering as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, God let him be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you know what to do. God help you to do it. If you've already done it, try to get somebody else to do it. Tell somebody, your loved ones, your friends, how to trust Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank thee for thy love, thy grace, for this wonderful salvation, for all thou art to us. Keep us true to thee this day. Help us to magnify thy name, to love thee, to be faithful to thee in all things. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.